listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, December 20th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, as always, I'm happy to be here, Michael, and happy Yuletide Eve.
Well, so happy to have you. Happy Yuletide Eve to you as well, and happy Yuletide Eve to those joining us in the live chat here. Always so happy to see you, and so very thankful for those that catch up with us in the archives. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we'll begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are: 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. All right, tonight's topic, we're going to be talking about a lot of things, really. We're going to be talking about patterns in life. We're going to be talking about numbers, a little numerology, a little Mandela effect. And so anything that you wanted to kind of get us started with, Dr. Vicki?
Yes, I do. But apparently a couple of people in the chat are saying you sound far away, that your volume's down or your level's down.
Yeah, I heard that too, I don't know why. So I'm going to fiddle with stuff while you're talking.
Yeah, go ahead. Well, you know, from last week to this week, it kind of segued from, I had been noticing reality shifts, and Wendy had said in the chat she's had a couple of experiences, and so I did some research, you know, about online, just Googling what people are saying about if you see repeating numbers, you know, and I like the angel number kind of thing. I like to look that stuff up, but there's people there, the 5 reasons, you know, you're seeing repeating numbers, and I'll get to it in a minute, and here's the reason. And most of this stuff I hear, honestly, is just a little bit out there for me, and people trying to sell stuff. I even came across books that were written about, you know, higher consciousness, and here's how to. And it talks very absolute. I have the answer. And, of course, anything we say about this is pure speculation. And it's like we're just theorizing what it could be. What we are doing is becoming more aware. You know, when we're seeing these things, it twigs our consciousness into being more aware of things. Now, when I first studied hypnosis back in the mid-late 1970s, one of my teachers would say, you know, I can't remember the name of the methodology, but it'll come to me. It's in my brain file somewhere. But, you know, 5 and 6 level of consciousness be positive and negative hallucinations. And really, it's for us to be observant about, sometimes we can look at something, but we don't notice it. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, we look somewhere and put something in, and which is very different than pareidolia, right, where we interpret. But it's kind of how our mind would work. So I'm very conscientious of how our psyche impresses upon itself certain things. Anything, for that matter.
Yeah, very true.
But it's when we start noticing something that is repeated, and then it, for me, on the summertime, it stopped. It's like, I wasn't noticing numbers. As a matter of fact, I look, oh, my noticing numbers, look at the clock, there's nothing repeating. You know, whether it's the odometer, you know, any number of things, you know, my receipt at this grocery store, and it's, no, there's nothing repeating. And then it started almost with a vengeance. That's why I brought it up last week, is, you know, it's constant. So I have to ask myself, is this me? You know, and something psychological or maybe spiritual, could be. Or is there really something going on? So
right.
My thing is, how many other people are experiencing this? Well, just about everybody I talk to has had this happening. And I go, huh, well, there must be something going on. I was even watching a video on this yogi who was saying how we're all connected, and a lot of it can be, you know, that quantum connection of, you know, if two people are thinking of the number three at the same time, you know, it might appear, which we can be connected numerically. Well, I hadn't heard that theory before. So, okay, is it somebody else, like we're connecting with other people in quantum entanglement? Could be, at, you know, at this level, through mm-hmm. our higher consciousness. Somebody else says it's our angels talking to us. Well, I don't know about angels. I know about spirits, but I think it's just semantics to call them one or the other. But what is happening? Michael, this is where I get really stuck, because uh-oh. I'm a bit of a pragmatist, but I'm also open to other possibilities that we don't know about.
Well, yeah, I think we have to be, right? That's kind of part and parcel of being a metaphysician.
Yeah, well, and so everything in nature is math, but we have to start there.
Because we're living everything in a simulation. Go on.
Everything in nature is math. Fibonacci series, you know, the list is long. How numerology or numerically, everything has a form that kind of is reflected in something else. So, you know, we kind of made up the idea of numbers at one point. So there is a reflection in nature to all other things. Computers are based on numbers. And then we have the matrix, if you will. Everything's based on numbers. And again, the programming. So are we simultaneously tapping into other forms of connectivity, you know, to nature, to the universe? So I'm thinking right in our earth organics as well as in some kind of super consciousness. And I tend to think that is happening, but none of us has the advantage of, right at this very moment, of going back 100 years and saying, oh, did you guys have repeating numbers on your clocks? Because not everybody had clocks, you know? So how Wendy says everything comes back to math. Yeah, it does. I believe that everything comes back to math. But when we're seeing it, I think that we are connecting to something. Some others out there believe that it's a message for us to wake up, you know, be more awake, be more aware of our surroundings, be more aware of the world, of ourselves. But then you say, well, awake to what? Because we each live in our own reality.
You know, I know,
reality
I
is a very, very subjective thing. I think that there is no such thing as a normal state of being anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what kind of a shared reality do we have? Well, Joseph Campbell would say, money, you know? So that's the myth that binds our culture now, just that that's also down to numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if anybody has any theories out there, happy to see them in the chat. I do think that something is going on. I don't think it's all in my head that, you know, my brain has suddenly linked to a 333 or a 111 or a 717 or, you know, I was at the grocery store the other day and my bill was $73.73. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm not making that stuff up. I'm just saying I'm really observant and something's happening. So I just keep watching. What really gets me is this reality shifting, because I do know, and I said this last week, I'm not losing my mind, and I don't have early onset dementia or any other such nonsense that I know of.
You can be honest with us.
If I had it, you know, I certainly wouldn't know it. But Seals and Crofts with an S on the end. This summer was Seals and Croft with no S on the end. Now it's Seals and Crofts with the S on the end again. And I'm when I saw it with no S on the end of Crofts, I even went to my family. I had brunch on a Sunday. I said, I can't believe this. There's no S on the end of Christopher Reeves, you know. And that's not back yet. And so it's still Christopher Reeve with no S on the end. So one of the things in the Mandela effect that really bothered me was changes in the Lord's Prayer. Now, trust me, I'm not Christian, you know that, but I was raised Christian. Excuse me. So there are certain things I had to put to memory, and not having a great memory, when these things are committed to my memory, they're in there. So I did, before the program tonight, and went and looked at the Lord's Prayer, and it's exactly as I remember as a child. It wasn't like that a year ago.
Mm.
Because I freaked out thinking, who changed the Lord's Prayer?
Well, they do change things. I've heard that Catholics changed the whole reading. What was it? Peace be with you and unto you or something like that. And they changed that whole thing up. But I don't know. I'm probably going to be a bit of, when it comes to the Mandela effect and thing, I've always been a bit of a skeptic on that more so than other things. But I don't trust human memory. I don't trust, you know, a lot of things about the human mind because we distort things so much.
Yeah, it's like, describe the perpetrator. You know, what was he wearing? You know, and it's like,
yeah,
and there's a lot of facts about that. People don't have a great memory like that unless they have a trained mind to notice those things.
Right.
But we have... Again, these things that we're observing, Wendy has said she has felt the shift. I have certainly felt the shift. But a shift of what? And I have to think also that there's something to a lot of radiation, 5G. And trust me, I'm not going to get into all the really negative bad stuff, but it does change the electromagnetic frequencies, and that's why there's speculation, that's why some migratory animals have kind of lost their sense because of the EMFs. Now we're kind of saturated in radiation from cell phones and cell towers and all the other stuff that we have. Is that also, you know, kind of affecting us in ways that we can't possibly know what that is?
Yeah.
So it's, again, something to be observant of. And I don't have an answer, Michael. I'm just throwing out all the questions, things that I'm noticing and the things that I see. Dr. Mike has said in the chat, you mentioned that spiritual is a possible pattern of life. And I think that we're all in patterns. We have patterns of life, and maybe this is because we have so much more technology available to us. Like, I think even sitting here, I got four clocks at the same time, right? I didn't have four clocks when I was a kid. So how does that kind of, so if there's more clocks around, do we tend to notice them more?
Well,
you know, if...
And, you know, there's so many, like, when it comes to what we notice and what we find in patterns, I mean, it's been said a lot. You know, human beings, we look for patterns. That's one of our survival traits. It's one of our species, you know, hallmarks. And, you know, how many times have you looked at the clock? And how many times is it something that's odd? I mean, how do you remember every time you look at the clock? I mean, maybe one reason I don't I do find some patterns, like I tend to look at, you know, it's 10:10 or 11:11 a lot, but at the same time, I'm, you know, especially at work, I'm always looking at the clock. I have to, you know, keep track of the time and what's going on and what's coming in. So, you know, it's a matter of perception too.
I think it's not just looking at the clock though. It would be, you know, when you also get in your car and you see those numbers or on your car radio, and then you open your phone an hour later and there's three repeating numbers.
Yeah.
And you go to the store and it's also your receipt. You know, and you're saying, and I appreciate that Jerry said angel numbers. They're trying to send us messages. And I don't disagree with that possibility. I think, spirits have a way of trying to get our attention when they're around by through any number of means. A picture is knocked over or you have a smell in the room or, you know, and maybe it's numerically, you know, through clocks. So it's, I think that it's any possibility. I am of the mind to believe in parallel universes. That's my belief. I think that we have other things simultaneously going on. But do I absolutely know that? It's food for thought.
It is. And,
and I think I don't know.
The idea of a multiverse has really come around. You know, it's been percolating for a long time, and it seems to be gaining in popularity. You know, I definitely would give credence to the idea of a multiverse. You know, just when we look at reality and, you know, all the different possibilities, it just has a feeling to it. But I'm always one to say that there are things that I acknowledge may be true, and then there are things that I think are true, and there are things I believe in, very, very few things I believe in. I actually am deeply skeptical of belief. I grew up in a Christian household as well, and so to me, belief is something more akin to that kind of religious belief that there is God, you know, Earth is 6,000 years old, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I was joking with you, Dr. Vicky, before the program that I might actually be from this universe or something, because a lot of the Mandela effect things, I just, you know, I don't notice or remember, like, you know, some of the popular ones, you know, movie Shazam with Sinbad. I don't remember it.
I do.
All kinds of other things like Christopher Reeves. I guess I don't really know. I never paid much attention to his name to think about whether I remembered it with the S or without the S. But I also think that, you know, and again, not to detract from anything, but I do think that people are just wrong a lot. So I think that a lot of times people will say the name and it gets picked up. Like, you know, why is nuclear a thing? How did that happen? So, you know, people just, you know, they start, it becomes a cultural thing. And, you know, it, maybe it's regional. I wonder if you can map out North America and see what regions, you know, tend to recall, you know, sex in the city or sex and the city, you know? Is it just a tick of, you know, how it was said? But I don't
know. Wendy just put one in the chat, Oscar Mayer versus Oscar Mayer. And if it was M-A-Y-E-R when I was a kid, I would have said Mayer. I wouldn't have said Oscar Mayer. You know, I said Mayer. Because it had an E. But it's things that I remember very much to the Mandela effect. You don't, which is interesting for some of us. And it's, I don't know how this can be proven or disproven, or if CERN has something to do with it, or who knows.
Well,
you know, it's just to be really observant. Like, I know who I am, and I know how my mind works, and I know
at least you do. I have no idea how my mind works.
Like, it's Well, I know how I process. That was really important to me growing up, is learning how my mind processes information. I'm more experiential. I'm visual. I'm not a good reader because I'm borderline dyslexic, so I have to really visualize everything that I read, and I have to experience it in my mind. So, I mean, that's what I mean by processing. So when I commit something to memory, it's in there, like on a chalkboard, mm-hmm. and I remember it. And so this is where, like, Flintstones versus Flintstones.
You mean the without the T, Flynn versus Flint?
I mean, these are – they're distressing to somebody like me in a way because of how my mind works and how hard I had to work at committing things to memory.
Mm. And that's another thing. I you know, I've also – maybe it's because of the era I came up in, you know, being a little older and a millennial, I did kind of come up in my formative teenage years with smart devices and what have you. Well, I guess not until I was in my – regardless, I've been able to look things up really easily for a long time, so I don't
– Oh, I lost you. I lost you, Michael. I don't know if anybody else can hear me.
They can. I just had to mute because I went on like a 10-sneeze – binge there. But you know, I don't trust my memory, and so if I'm like, huh, I don't really remember, like, was it Christopher Reeve or Christopher Reeves, I just look it up. Oh, I guess it was Christopher Reeve, because I don't know if it's just because I don't care or I just don't, you know. But to your credit about, you know, paying attention to things, I suppose. But you know, there are certain things I do. You know, I was talking about this at work. You know, like, a lot of times when I'm doing a process, I feel my way through things a lot. So I remember the process of how to get, you know, to the answer I need. But there's so much variety. There's so much, things are changing all the time when it comes to processes at work, how we do things, that, you know, I tend to not really focus on the exact process, but how I can find the process when I need it. Where do I go to find what it is now and things like that. So I think in that way alone, I tend to look at life a lot differently than you do, which I think has
Yeah, you see, and I'm the reverse. I can't remember how I got there, but once I'm in, I know what the process is.
Well, yeah.
You know, it's a training of how the mind works also. But I think the point being, too, we all need to be really observant, and I'm encouraging everybody to be more observant. And maybe over this next – don't forget, we have a major eclipse on April 8th. Oh. So I'm wondering if this is some kind of prelude. I don't know. I'm just saying, people. I mean, after all, at Skinwalker Ranch, they've just started to find the evidence of a black hole, which could be a portal to other dimensions. And they actually measured an alteration of time, you know, that from this point in the ground to so many thousand feet, they've actually lost a half a second. So mm-hmm. we can start to prove those things now.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And over the next number of years, like, it's any number of things are absolutely possible, and we're going to look back to say, oh, that's what that was. You know?
And, you know, definitely so easy to say in hindsight, it's so hard to figure out ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so many variables, you know, and so many things at play. But, you know, I do think that there are wonderful mysteries in life. I think there are truly remarkable things that do occur. I can be a bit of a stick in the mud because I tend to think that when it comes to a lot of things in life, it's often more mundane than we'd want it to be. Like, I don't put much stock into 5G or into, you know, CERN or anything like that. I just don't think they have an effect that others do, but I have no way to prove that they don't. And so it's, you know, it's a debatable question because we don't know all the way yet. But I have always been one to, and maybe, again, it's kind of like a backlash to my upbringing. Like, my form of rebellion was, you know, not to kind of go against the, you know, the Christian way of, you know, and especially witnesses where they kind of see demons and everything has these layers, where I tend to rebel against that, and I think things are more mundane and, you know, not normal perhaps, but not, I don't know the word I want to use. Fancy. I don't know. But, yeah, so that's just kind of how I look at things. Although I do find a lot of, you know, interesting patterns. I do find a lot of interesting things, and they open my mind to what might be. And I think that's important, especially for me, because I tend to be skeptical. I've, you know, been around a lot of people throughout my life, you know, early upbringing where, you know, well, UFOs are demons and, you know, ghosts are demons. And, you know, there's, you know, obviously the government's controlled by Satan and all this, that, and the other, where, you know, I became very distrustful of things that were going against the grain. I needed extra evidence, but I think it's important that I keep my mind open to possibilities. So I think we all have the journey that we need to make as individuals.
Well, patterns, I think there's all kinds of patterns in life. I think of a friend of mine who 20 years ago was offered a job at a particular, like in Trail, BC. Her husband at the time didn't want to go. They get divorced. Where does she end up? A job offer in Trail. 20 years later. I had a job offer here in the Okanagan when my kids were little, back in the mid-80s, late 80s, and I didn't take it. And lo and behold, I end up out here anyway, you know, how many years later. So I think there are all kinds of patterns and loops mm-hmm. and interesting things going on. And, you know, for the grace of time, you know, we can be observant of that and you know, of certain things. I mean, and I think we all have our own ride, and again, try to be as awake as possible and say, huh, that's more than a coincidence.
Yeah. You know, I've often been fond of saying something along the lines of, one moment. I'm sorry, it is the year for pollen, at least here.
Oh, but, you're in Florida.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, I think that often I've been fond of saying that if you are certain that you know what the truth is and you believe in something that's, you know, not fact-based, then you might not see the truth when it comes in. So, you know, likewise, I've always had to remind myself that just because I think things might be mundane or, you know, just kind of ordinary, doesn't mean that they always are, that there isn't a hidden or deeper meaning in things. So, you know, I think the balance is different for everybody. So I do try to keep an open mind and maintain that kind of outlook.
You know, I have my second daughter is married to, thankfully, an atheist. Both my daughters, thankfully, married, you know, non-Christian men,
religious
men. I was so glad. But I refer to past lives a fair bit. And so my second daughter, she came in with a lot of past life kaka. And one by one by one, as she's gotten older, and she's in her 40s now, things will just change. In the snap of a finger, she wakes up one day and, oh, that's old stuff. So we were visiting last week, and I said, it's just really amazing for me to watch you, you know, as you grow into this really cool woman. But this past life stuff just falls away one day. Like, it's over. That stuff is over. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, Ed's looking at me kind of, because he's not convinced of reincarnation, right? But there's enough things in reference that he's entertaining the idea of a possibility. Because, you know, it's interesting. See, I'm a firm believer in it, but
I'm definitely entertaining the possibility. Again, you know, I'm kind of beating this dead horse. I don't know that I'm a firm believer in anything.
Yeah,
except for my dogs and occasionally the cats.
If I'm proven to be wrong, I'm cool with that, too. It just means I go back to the home planet. And if there's no home planet, that's when I'll really take issue. So, you know, it's that time.
Wow.
On the eve of Yuletide, we're going to take some cards for a few folks here and see. Let's see. Jerry has made a comment. Or maybe the universe is just getting you back where you need to be for your soul's purpose. Mm-hmm. You'll eventually get there regardless of the many paths you take in another direction. You know, it's absolutely possible. You know, I don't dispute that possibility.
Yeah.
You know, it's,
you know, one last thought on this. I think for so many of these things, it's impossible to know. So for that very reason alone, I think we should be open to possibilities because, you know, ultimately, the fundamental truth of, you know, is reincarnation real or is it not? You know, it's impossible to verify, you know, for others. Like, you have your personal experiences that are meaningful to you, but I haven't shared in those. So I have to, you know, I entertain the idea. I think it's very plausible. You know, I think it has a certain logic to it in a way, but, you know, it's not something that I experienced. So I think we have to keep our minds open and, I think, let's not, this is just me talking to myself, let's not try to be arrogant or, you know.
Well, I think that there's enough testimonials out there that have been, you know, absolutely verified of potential,
reincarnation or is it a interdimensional alien beaming telepathic thoughts into a kid's head for kicks?
Oh, there you go again.
But also I'm deeply, deeply mistrusting of humans, so... there's that, too. Is that a long pause because you're shocked with what I said, or did I lose you?
Yeah, I had to cough, Michael. It's an allergy thing, too. Not sick. Okay, we do have some names, so we're going to go on. I want everybody to know I'm observing these things. You're not alone if you're observing these things, and mm-hmm. let's just keep an eye on it.
Yeah.
And even jot down notes. I'm starting to take notes whenever I see these dimensional shift things happening before my eyes, so... you know, I'm writing it down and taking pictures when I see something on the screen, and I say, "Oh no, that can't be true." And I, you know, take pictures so I can look back at it in my own phone.
And I think it's let's you know help each other out. Let's all share each other's perspectives on reality so that we can try to get to a deeper truth.
Yeah, let's hope. Yeah. Let's hope. All right, we have Jerry up first. Happy right. Yuletide, Jerry. What have we got for Jerry?
Jerry, I have for you wild card number 2, and then some. When you have reached your limits and believe you have done all that you can do, reach deep within to stretch your true potential. Do a little more than is needed and go beyond what is required to make a positive difference. You can do it, and by doing so, you are leaving the woodpile a little higher than you found it.
Oh, Jerry, I got strength. You know, I love that, the and then some and the strength. You know, that we all have days of thinking, oh, can I get through this? You know, or I'm tired, or you've got a challenge on your plate. And you've got the strength, you've got the absolute will of spirit. And if there's something, finagly something going on here, Jerry, you've got this. So, it's digging. I say it, the and then some is your will of spirit. It's yes, you do have the will, and yes, you have the strength. And oh, and Wendy says you had this card on, I think that's November 8th. So a repeat. I think that's giving to yourself, and you've got more in you than you realize. So
very nice.
I mean, I think it's great.
Absolutely.
Kevin is next.
All right, Kevin, for you I have number 9, empowerment. Taking your power back is literally all-powerful and absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution, in principle, for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from a bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you are whole, you are empowered. Empower others by doing no harm and doing right. Sharing the best of yourself is encouraging and uplifting to yourself and others.
I got the judgment card, and I always see that as kind of an announcement or a declaration of some kind of sort. So I want to go into more a business way that comes out, Kevin, for me. So the empowerment, the announcement of... I think you're taking another step of something, making an announcement of something. And, oh, you had that empowerment twice this year already. 6/13 and 11/29. Wow. So now you've got it again. So I think that if you reflect back over the year, Kevin, it's you've been on an escalator ride, you know. And it's not an elevator, but it's okay. It's an escalator. You're getting to the next floor kind of thing. And so I think you're just on the precipice of something pretty cool. I think it's good.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. And we have... I'm sorry?
Zorian next.
All right. And I have for you number 7, self-mastery. To know who you are and why you are who you are is self-actualization. To choose and walk your own path is self-determination, giving inner peace. Not allowing others to dictate your behavior is self-control. Remain true to your convictions. This is self-mastery, towards the path of self-completeness.
Well, the Five of Hearts, I always see as a reflection card, but you have a destination in mind, but it's a moment to just reflect, take inventory for a minute before you, you know, step into the water to cross the river, so to speak. So it's just a reflection for a minute before you move forward. So in that self-mastery, you are taking that moment to meditate and ponder before you move forward. I think the decision's already made. It's just that reflective moment. So I hope that makes sense to you, Zoran.
Very nice.
We have Edward. Yeah.
I have, speaking of numbers, I have a, not quite sequential. What's the word for not sequential, but preceding? I don't know. We have number 6, boundaries. It's important for you to establish clear boundaries for yourself. Equally, it is necessary to be aware of others and to not overstep or encroach on their boundaries. This is the mark of a self-competent individual. Reassess and assertively protect your healthy boundaries while looking to see if you are overstepping elsewhere. Begin with asking yourself, who owns me?
Well, when, of course, the death card is about birthing, right? It's always change. And I thought, well, what's that about? And then I pulled the magician. So you got two cards here, Edward. And what I think this means is there's a transformation afoot. But what you're doing is setting up boundaries. Maybe that's just for yourself, your own boundaries. So what you can, can't do, will or won't do. But you're in a transformation. And I see, could be another stage of healing, perhaps. A healing in your life of some sort. So I know you went through some physical challenges this past year, which maybe that has something to do with it. But you're in the process of this transformation. Now, again, boundaries can be what you put on yourself. You know, it doesn't have to be just about other people or them putting boundaries up for you. You know, it could be you for yourself. So I hope that makes sense in some weird way.
You know? All right, I like it. All right, and we have our car keeper herself next, Wendy, if I'm not mistaken. And Wendy, for you, I have wild card number 7, hope. Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope in and of itself does not create life, rather hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last failsafe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope.
9 of Diamonds, satisfaction in home, family, your garden of life, and it's kind of like you're creating a sanctuary. Have you thought of having a sanctuary? Wendy said she had hope back in October 18th. So I don't know, maybe you are creating some kind of rescue operation for critters. I don't know. It sounds weird, Wendy, but it's not like you don't have enough critters. But there's something really cool going on in your home, something that you're shifting and changing and putting into a way that you have wanted it for a long time. So I find that really quite, it's curious.
It is.
Yeah, I'm very curious about that one. It's like I get this imagery here for Wendy, so we'll see. Well, and thank you for the feedback, people. I appreciate that because I have no idea what I'm saying when I say it. Dr. Kevin has asked, what does spiritual harassment mean? Maybe the card pertains to some of the challenges we've been facing. Spiritual harassment, there's different interpretations of of that for different people. You know, when somebody's wishing you ill, you know, even in the ethers, thinking negative of you, that's
toxicity.
It's kind of that. That's what that is. Or, you know, if something's in your environment that, you know, kind of hurts your spirit, right? Your emotionally.
Curses.
And, sorry?
Curses.
Yeah, here's the thing about curses. It has to have something to attach to. So, you know, I've said this. I've had people try to put bad medicine on me. I said, throw it away because, you know, throw away. But if I put up a mirror and it flings back at you, that's on you because I'm not afraid. You have to have fear for something to be a negative be thrown at you for the negative to attach. Does that make sense? So
yeah.
Fear attached to fear. Anger attaches to fear. So you can't hurt me. That's what I'm trying to say. So I don't worry about it. It's bigger. I've had bigger fish to fry in life than
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Well, and it kind of comes back to the, you know, the idea that, you know, ghosts and spirits can't hurt you unless you let them, right? Unless you're in some level a willing participant, can a curse affect you?
Well, I think they can be a nuisance and try to scare the crap out of you, but if you're not afraid, it doesn't matter, you know. That's my experience with it, so.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it.
So, it's interesting. You know, we do have, I gather we are going to be on next week, are we, Michael?
Yeah, I expect to.
Yeah.
In fact, I was going to try and put Wendy on the spot and cajole her and see if we can get her to come on. But I'm not going to hold her to it. I know that Wendy, we had talked about the last Wednesday or the year, the first Wednesday of the next. But so.
Well, I think if Wendy will come on, then we can also do a year in reflection along with that before we move on to what's in store for 2024.
Oh, God. So many different possibilities, and only a few of them are anything good.
I know. Well, cross that bridge when we get to it.
Well, for any Marvel fans, you know, it's Doctor Strange's, you know, out of the millions of possibilities, there's one where it works out. We're going to be that one, folks. We're going to be that one.
Yeah, well, and even if Wendy can't come on next week, then we will still do a year in reflection and kind of recap. I'd like to even look at where we've been the last 10 years and cover that kind of ground and say, wow, look how far we've come. This is awesome. And the only reason I say that is Michael has shown me a photograph, 10-year-old photograph before the program on Skype. And I said, when was that? And he goes, 10 years ago. Whoa, where did 10 years go? Because I've certainly been with the school more than 10 years. We've been doing the program together for 10 years at least. And Wendy just replied, she's on.
And she put it in writing, so she can't back out. So, yeah.
That's awesome. You know, I do wish everybody here a happy Yuletide. Take a moment to, you know, just be joyful and happy and whatever your traditions, whatever your moments of, thank your ancestors for all that they went through to bring us here to this moment, and light a candle for the year to come. And
good advice. Ever since you had been, didn't mean to cut you off if I did, but ever since you had spoken last week about thinking about ancestors, and I'd done this before, but I came back to it and I began thinking about, you know, my ancestors and what they would have gone through, and, you know, everything from the ancient Anglo-Saxon days and the Irish and the Scots and the Norse, the Vikings that came over. By the way, I was curious about the etymology of Viking. It's just a Scandinavian word that has a root meaning of piracy. So it's an occupation, not a people. But
it was a branch of Scandinavian people.
Well, they weren't a people. It was, you could have, you know,
they were like bandits.
Yeah, exactly. So you could be a Dane Viking, a Swedish Viking, a Nordic Viking. But, you know, I thought about, all the struggles that they had, and here I am driving in my air conditioned car to my air conditioned office. I have no real struggles that I have, you know, psychological stuff, you know, the worries, you know, the pressures of modern life, et cetera. But I don't have brigands, you know, threatening to take my stuff and burn down my house. But I think about that. I think about taking strength from those ancestors and the fact that those that came before did and they succeeded. That means that we can too. And I think that pretty much applies no matter who your ancestors were, because the very fact that you're here means that they succeeded and that they pushed forward.
Well, I take great comfort in childhood memories of my grandmother on the farm. And I knew both my great-grandmothers, by the way, who passed when I was six. But even on my hardest day of feeling tired, I remember my grandmother, no running water, no electricity, cooking all day, hauling in the coal and the wood for the stove, you know, lighting the fire at 4 o'clock in the morning. The bread had been rising all night, and she'd be putting the bread in the oven by, you know, as soon as the oven was hot enough. Coffee pot was percolating because they were, you know, on the stove percolators, and it was so pure and clean. And yes, it was hard, but those are my memories of, you know, sitting with my, every night putting my feet in this big metal tub to wash my feet. And you got a bath in that metal tub once a week. You know, that was the process, because you had to haul the water. You had to heat the water.
This was before electricity and running water, I take it?
Yeah, no, we had nothing until I think I was 8 or 9 when they finally got a light bulb. And the phone was a party line.
Yeah,
so you could sneak on and listen to the gossip of, you know, everybody.
I'm just happy that I can tell future generations that I existed in a time that we only had a thing called dial-up. And you had to dial in. You couldn't use the phone at the same time. And these were dark days, you know.
Well, you see, that's what I, you know, I feel really blessed to have those kinds of memories But I hear my daughters now talking to my grandkids, and they said, well, when we were kids, you know, we didn't have the opportunities that you kids have, and I just have a chuckle to myself.
Well, yeah.
You know, it's like...
And what a wonderful example of perspective, right? Because all those things that you talked about, you know, to people 1,000 years ago, you know, coffee percolating on a stove, you know, what convenience.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm really, again, it's a... very cool Yuletide for me, because we're going to have our celebration. We're going to have a brunch tomorrow, but our celebration is going to be on Friday. And it's the first time in 15 years that I've had both my daughters home for Yuletide at the same time.
Well,
so I'm very excited, but it's, you know, it's just one of those moments that you don't get them very often. You say, wow, this is a good day.
It's a treat, and it's to be enjoyed. You know, I think it's, a lot of things in life are changing, you know, the Mandela effect is going on. We have a society that's actively changing in front of our eyes. You know, I don't recall a lot of the Mandela effect examples, but you know, I can tell you, you know, I might not remember a lot of things, but I know how my family, my friends, my, you know, my pets, I know how they all are, and they're very crucial and important parts of my life. And you getting to spend this Yuletide, this very important, you know, holiday for your family with your daughters is a truly wonderful event. So I wish you the very best on that.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, Michael. And to everyone in the live chat and in the archives, you know, may you have a wonderful holiday season. And Michael and I will be back next Wednesday on the 27th.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
With our special guest, Wendy. It's going to be interesting. We're going to look at patterns and what we've got in the past year, I tell you.
I think
that'll be another part to this discussion.
It will be. It's a nice segue to our discussion. And it's kind of nice how our discussions have been segueing into one another. Because I think a lot of what we were talking about last week kind of led us to this discussion.
And I would like to also extend to the whole Kelly family a happy Yuletide. Happy Christmas holiday season. And, Doug and Tracy, all my best.
Well, thank you very much. And I have to say likewise, and, you know, everybody listening as well, take these moments and celebrate the peace that we have in life, celebrate each other, celebrate those joyous moments, because that's what life's about, and that's what makes it worth living. So,
absolutely.
Well, until then, Dr. Rick, do you have any last thoughts before we wrap up?
No, Michael, happy Yuletide.
Happy Yuletide. Until we meet again next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone. Happy Yuletide.